Let us pray. Lord Jesus, be our teacher today. Open up our hearts and our minds to learn something fresh and new about what it means to be your disciple. And give us a fresh vision for what it means to be a good steward over the gifts that you have given us. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. A man came home from work one evening and he was greeted by his wife at the front door. And she asked him, "Honey, do you know what today is?" He said, "Of course I do. It's our 25th wedding anniversary." And so she asked him, "Did you buy me a present?" He said, "Yes, of course I did." She asked, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Well, I got you something really special. It took a lot of thought. It's going to be really useful, and I think you're really going to like it." She asked, "Well, what is it?" He said, "I bought you a burial plot. The cemetery is beautiful. It's always perfectly manicured, and I feel like you're the type of person who really deserves the best burial plot money can buy." The wife agreed that the present was very thoughtful and appropriate. Fast forward 1 year later, they were having breakfast, and the wife asked him again, "Honey, do you know what today is?" He said, "Of course I do. Today is our 26th wedding anniversary." And so she asked him, "Did you buy me a gift?" And he said, "Buy you a gift? But you didn't use the gift that I bought for you last year." The parable of the talents from our gospel lesson this morning is a story about using the gifts that God has given us. In the parable, we see three servants. Each of them are given some talents or some money from their master, and each must choose how to use the gift that they are given. We read that their master is going away for a long time. He's going to go on a journey. And so he gives each of them some money according to their abilities. He gives the first servant 5 talents. He gives the second servant 2 talents. And he gives the third servant 1 talent. Now, just a little bit about talents here. Talents is basically a term that was used in the ancient Near East. And it simply means an amount of money, gold or silver. In fact, our English word, talent, some of you have probably seen the TV show America's Got Talent. It basically means a gift or skill, but our use of this word is derived from this parable. And so that's how I'm going to be using it today. I'm going to be using it to refer more generally about the gifts that God has given us, whether they be time, resources, or our abilities. One of the points that the parable makes is that it's not the amount of money or resources or our ability that's important. It's not how much we have that matters to God. It's what we do with what we have. That's what really matters to God. You see, God is not concerned about how large or small our gift is. He wants us to use the gifts that we have. You might remember earlier in Matthew, Jesus warns against putting our light underneath a bushel basket. And he says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to use our gifts, our talents, and our resources for other people to build his kingdom. And so the servants here in our parable are faced with a choice. What should they do with the talents that they are given? Of course, in today's world, it's easy to get confused about how to use our gifts, how to use our talents. I think one of the reasons for this is choice. We live in a culture that allows us to choose pretty much anything we want. We can have anything we want whenever we want it. And this is not all bad, of course. When I get home this afternoon, I like the fact that I have a myriad of options of things to watch on the television. And the dilemma of choice that I will be facing this afternoon is whether to watch episode 11 of The Mandalorian, or the final round of The Masters, or season 4 of The Crown. Let's be honest. Life would be pretty dull without choices. Choice is a good thing. It allows us to enjoy the variety of God's creation and to experience the richness and diversity of people's gifts. That said, too many choices can have a dizzying effect on us. And the exponential amount of choices can come at a spiritual cost as well. In his 2007 book, A Secular Age, the Canadian philosopher Charles Taylor argues that the main reason for decline in religious practice in the West, the main reason for decline of Christianity in the West, is because of the multitude of choices before us. Taylor makes the point that we live in an individualistic era in which people are encouraged to find their own way, to find their own path to spiritual fulfillment. And this is true of our faith as well. When we are searching for meaning and fulfillment, we are faced with an unfathomable amount of choices. And as a result, Taylor writes, Christianity often becomes sidelined and is reduced to just one option among the many millions and millions that are offered. In our parable, the servants are faced with a choice. What are they to do with the gift that their master has given them? And we see that the first two servants opt to invest the money. They take a risk to invest. And the result is that they double their money by the time their master returns. And when the master returns, he says to each of them, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things." So far, so good. But there's one more servant, the third guy. Whereas the first two servants went out and invested the money, we read that the third servant dug a hole in the ground and he buries his talent. He's scared. He's fearful. He doesn't use the gift that was given to him. And when the master returns, he has a less than favorable response. He calls him wicked, lazy. He says, "You ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have received what was my own and with interest." You see, here we see the point that Jesus is making. It's not about how much we have or how great our gifts are or abilities, but it's about what we do with the gifts that we are given. If you're wondering how exactly to use your gift, how to use your talent, your ability, two things to keep in mind. First, look for where there is a need for God to work in the world. Look for where there is brokenness in the world. The New York Times columnist David Brooks, many of you will be familiar with that name, wrote a piece in 2015 about commencement speeches. And he says this, "Commencement speakers are always telling young people to follow their passions. Be true to yourself. This is a vision of life that begins with self and ends with self." But Brooks goes on, "People on the road to character growth and character building do not find their vocations by asking, 'What do I want from life?' Rather, they ask, 'What is life asking of me? How can I match my intrinsic talent and gifts with one of the world's deepest needs?'" You see, wherever there is a corner of the creation that is broken, that needs to be fixed, that needs to be beautified, a relationship that needs to be mended, an area of life that needs grace to break in, that is an opportunity for you to use the gift that God has given you. Second, start small. You know, Jesus placed a lot of value on small things, and I'm really thankful for that. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus says, "If you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And of course, we see this in Jesus's ministry as well, don't we? He starts off with really just two disciples, and then it grows to 12. It's a small group, pretty modest. Reminds me of a story I once read about a guy named Joey Prusak, who was an employee at the Dairy Queen, also known as the DQ. One day, as Joey was serving customers their food, he noticed that there was a blind man standing in line, and the blind man dropped a $20 bill on the ground. Well, the lady behind him that was standing in line picks up the $20 bill, puts it in her pocket. And so Joey sees this, and he goes out, and he calls the lady out on this and says, look, this blind man dropped his money. Would you please give it back? She says, no, that's my money. I'm going to keep it. And then Joey did something very remarkable. He opened up his billfold, and he handed the blind man a $20 bill of his own. The man took the money gratefully, and Joey went back to work. But a customer who was in line observed the whole episode, and so she sends an email to the management of Dairy Queen, and then Dairy Queen posted about it on Facebook, and the event went viral. A couple days later, Jerry received a call from one Warren Buffett, who happens to be a big investor in Dairy Queen. Buffett thanked Joey for showing such integrity and generosity and asked him to come at the next Dairy Queen investors meeting. You see, Joey's small act of generosity inspired thousands of people to believe that they too could do something small that would impact the world for good. It was a small act with a huge impact. And so it is with God. He takes our small acts of kindness and multiplies those for his own good and the good of others and ourselves. My encouragement for you is don't wait until you can do big things. Start with small things. Use the gifts that God has given you. You know, I think most of us can look back at our lives and see different points in which we have had great opportunities, some of opportunities we might label as opportunities of a lifetime. Perhaps it was to go off to college, move to a new city, begin a relationship, start a new job, a new company, an investment opportunity, a travel opportunity, an opportunity to meet someone. But here's the thing. I think each one of us has been given the opportunity of a lifetime. And that is life itself. Each day is the opportunity of a lifetime. Every day we are given opportunity to find God's will and to do God's work. That's what we are called to do. And by the way, we are not alone in this. But God's Holy Spirit is with us every step of the way. And our church family is here with us even as we do that. We are all given opportunities, gifts, resources, talents, abilities to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. When I think about the breadth and depth of the talents and gifts and abilities at our church here at St. Martin's, I got to tell you, my heart smiles. When I see the love for this church, the passion for our ministries here at St. Martin's, and the willingness to serve others, I get excited. And when I think about the opportunity to use our gifts, our talents, our resources to bring hope and healing to a broken world, I am awestruck and inspired. Each of us has been given a gift from God, every single one of us. And today is a good day, a good opportunity to use the gifts that God has given us to build his kingdom and to do his work. Amen.